Hello, St. Georgians, near and far, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. On day 216 of our year of the Bible, looking at Jeremiah, chapters 4 and 5, our second day in the book of the prophet Jeremiah. I will admit that having gone on with Jeremiah a little bit, I find it somewhat repetitive. However, that goes along with the fact that Jeremiah had a very long ministry that was, he kept saying the same thing because they kept not doing the thing that he said. Maybe he would have moved on to something else had the folks been more receptive to his original idea. I know what Jeremiah feels like. Anyway, there we are. At the beginning of chapter 4, it is made clear that all the bad things that are going to happen to Judah through the invasion of Babylon is not something that God wants to happen to them. If you, Israel, will return, then return to me. And it won't be that way. Break up your unplowed ground, right? Unplowed ground is not bearing fruit. It's not fertile. Break up your unplowed ground. And then he says, circumcise yourselves to the Lord, circumcise your hearts, you people of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. St. Paul in Romans says something similar about the circumcision of the heart. And Paul didn't make it up. He got it from Jeremiah and others. The point being that for the Jews there in Judah, circumcision, like baptism, was the entry point into that covenant relationship with God. So telling them to circumcise their hearts, it was telling them to sort of start over again. Okay, remember the initial thing that you do to enter into this relationship. Do it again, and let's start over. Like, come through the door again, and we'll like restart this relationship. Later on, we'll see Hosea says something similar. Who talks about God taking the Israelites back into the wilderness and sort of starting all over, right? And this is what repentance looks like for Jeremiah, sort of starting over, restarting the covenant relationship, hopefully this time under better circumstances, or in verse 4.5, my wrath will flare up and burn like fire because of the evil you have done. Nuts. In verse 5, we hear this disaster from the north that's talking about. Now, it could have been the talk about the north could have been Assyria, or we can now be talking about Babylon, which would, of course, be the empire that would eventually wreck Jerusalem. So Jeremiah says, go ahead and put on your sackcloth, lament and wail, right? Because this is what's going to happen. What's going to happen? Verse 9, in that day, the king and the officials will lose heart. The priests will be horrified and the prophets will be appalled by just how bad this is going to be for Jerusalem. Funnily enough, in verse 10, I thought this was sort of interesting. He says, Yahweh, how completely you have deceived this people and Jerusalem by saying you will have peace when the sword is at our throats. Think, wait a minute, God didn't say that. Yahweh never said you will have peace. It was the false prophets in Jeremiah, later on in Jeremiah, who said you will have peace. The true prophets of the Lord were the ones that were saying repentance is necessary to prevent the destruction. It was the false prophets that were saying, "Oh no, you're going to have peace." So it's a. I had just made one little mark in my Bible that said, "He never said that. God never said that." And so in 16 and a half, he says a besieging army is coming from a distant land. And again, that could have either been the Scythians who were coming down from the north, or the Assyrians. And then it would eventually be about the Babylonians around the year 605. Either way, whatever the destruction that was to come, The point is, in verse 18 and a half, this is your punishment. Your own conduct and actions have brought this on you. This is your This is your punishment. And he gets so frustrated. My people are fools, down in verse 22. They are senseless children. Even the leaders. Poor leadership is a... And remember, Jeremiah is writing through the course of like five kings over 40 years. And sort of bad leadership is one of the recurring themes. In verse 23, there's an interesting sort of rhetorical move that happens that's worth noting. It says, "I looked at the earth and it was formless and empty, and at the heavens and their light was gone. I looked at the mountains and they were quaking." I looked at the earth and it was formless and empty. Formless and empty is exactly the same words, the same Hebrew words that are used in Genesis 1, chapter 1, verse 2. Now, the earth was formless and empty. And so he's looking at the earth again here with Judah being so bad off and saying, and it was formless and empty. He said, I looked and the fruitful land was a desert. All its towns lay in ruins. The earth will mourn, the heavens will grow dark. What are we seeing happen there? We're seeing like an uncreation happen, right? The same words that are used at creation are now used here sort of in reverse to say this is how bad it's going to be. It's going to be like creation itself is getting turned back. That's real bad. And there are many of those, many of that kind of description of just how bad it's going to be. And then there are these like little parts that sort of come out of nowhere. There's just like one little line here and there. So just after he says all this stuff about the destruction, right, the earth being formless and empty again, it says the whole land will be ruined. And then in verse 27, though I will not destroy it completely. I have spoken, I will not relent. I have decided, I will not turn back, though I will not destroy it completely. To destroy it completely would be to not keep the promise to Noah, right? The Noahic covenant that he would never again destroy the whole earth. As well, is it would be not keeping the covenant with Israel, that no matter how faithless Israel is, God will stay faithful. So there's always these little like sort of like love. It sort of like cools it off just a little bit. It's like there's this like red hot sort of anger and wrath language, and then there'll be one little stream of cool air. Though I will not destroy it completely. Last thing I wanted to mention was chapter 5. At the beginning of chapter 5, there's something else from Genesis. The prophet says, go up and down the streets of Israel, go up and down the streets of Jerusalem. If you can find one person who deals honestly and seeks the truth, I will forgive the city. What does that sound like to you? That sounds like the situation with Sodom, Abraham haggling with God to prevent him from punishing Sodom. If he could find a few just men, that would be enough to spare Sodom. But they couldn't be. And the situation in Jerusalem is the same. Both the great and the small have been led astray by all kinds of things. Both the leaders and the hoi polloi. In verse 4, the prophet says, these are only the poor. They are foolish. They don't know. So I'm going to go to the leaders. Surely they know the way of the Lord, but they didn't. They were just as bad as anyone else. So down in verse 15, 16, 17, it's just a staccato, boom, 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 boom. Here's how bad it's going to be. Distant nation coming against you, ancient enduring nation, language you don't know, speech you understand. They have quivers, they're warriors. They're going to devour your harvest, devour your children, devour your flocks, devour your vines and fig trees. They will destroy the fortified cities in which you trust. You're saying, oh, no, this is really extreme and dramatic. Verse 18, yet even in those days, I will not destroy you completely. I will not destroy you completely. you know, I think I'm gonna leave it. There's one other sort of reference to creation, a sort of reminder that the God that they're dealing with, the God they're talking about, is the God who created all the things. Should you not, verse 22, should you not fear me, declares the Lord? Should you not tremble? Why? I made the sand a boundary for the sea. The waves may roll, they cannot prevail. They may roar, but they cannot cross it. But these people have stubborn and rebellious hearts. They have turned aside and gone away. So even though the one who provided order in the cosmos in the first place is the Yahweh that they're dealing with, nonetheless, they're not staying faithful to him. And as a result, there's going to be this destruction. So there's going to be more of this, more of this ahead. So I don't know, hang on to your hats, hold on for dear life, and that kind of stuff, and we will see what Jeremiah has to say. All right, let us pray. O God, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, amen. Have a wonderful rest of your day. I'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Bye.